Hello, my dear monk friends. This is Christine Balters-Paintner, your online abbess at Abbey of the Arts, a virtual monastery offering resources, reflections, and classes on contemplative practice, creative expression, and compassionate presence. And welcome to the third in a series of free monthly podcasts that are designed to support you in your journey of becoming a monk in the world. And each month reflects on one of the principles of the Monk Manifesto. And our theme this month is community, and the principle in the Monk Manifesto reads, I commit to cultivating community by finding kindred spirits along the path, soul friends with whom I can share my deepest longings, and mentors who can offer guidance and wisdom for the journey. So this podcast is divided into two parts. You're listening to part one, which are my reflections on the month's theme. And the second part of the podcast is a guided meditation experience, which will be an adaptation of St. Ignatius's Prayer of Examen in relationship to our sense of connection and community and disconnection and loneliness. I want to reflect a little bit on community and how we might discover the community already available to us. Edward Sellner, in his wonderful book, Finding the Monk Within, writes, "To be a monk today or someone seeking to incorporate monastic values into his or her own life presumes being a part of a community of friends, people with whom a person can share the counsels of the heart and speak a language of the heart to one another." Many of us have multiple communities. I consider my own primary community to be my marriage, the place of my most intimate encounters with another person. And my husband supports me wholeheartedly, and we also wrestle with one another at times as we bump up against each other's edges. And I have some very close friends with whom I can share my deepest struggles, who hold me lovingly in that space and witness my own life unfolding. These are the women who support me in the realization of my dreams and with whom I also sometimes wrestle when we misunderstand one another. I meet regularly with a spiritual director, a wise older man who has taught me much about being present in my dream life and my inner doubts and struggles. And there's my Benedictine Oblate community, which is my primary spiritual community, and the place where I experience the true meaning of church. For me, this means having a group of fellow pilgrims who are also seeking ways to live a meaningful life in this complicated world through ancient practices, and who don't have easy answers to life's questions, and who are willing to be alongside of me in my own doubts and questions. I also experience the great cloud of witnesses, especially my blood ancestors, as a community of support in my life. I find myself often calling upon my grandmothers, both of whom had to give up work that they loved, one as a teacher and one as a dancer, when they got married. I only knew one of my grandmothers, but I carry both of their longings in me, and I live out my life in their honor and ask them to lift me up. And beyond these core layers of community are people I'm connected to because of something shared, like my neighbors who also love this vibrant urban place we live in the heart of Seattle, and my fellow spiritual directors with whom I gather for mutual support and ongoing formation. And I'm connected to other circles that gather around shared values, and of course, the bigger communities of city and country and globe and creation. And then there are these communities that happen spontaneously. And when we're living as monks in the world and we're paying attention to the places we see the holy shimmering, if we're cultivating our awareness and our openness to those moments, we might begin to discover this kind of spontaneous community happening in more and more places. And what these experiences confirm, for me at least, is that we are all kindred spirits. The contemplative path reveals to us that we are profoundly connected rather than disparate people. When I'm asked sometimes how a person knows if they're having a genuine encounter with God, I ask, is your heart expanding with compassion so that you see more and more people with the eyes of love? Love makes demands upon us, like making relationships a priority and being of service to others even when we don't feel like it. Love demands that we allow people into our lives and let them be themselves without wishing they were different. And in our challenges with others, we're invited to welcome in the places of dissonance within us and notice what's being stirred in our own hearts. In chapter 3 of the Rule of Benedict, he writes that when any important decision is to be made in the monastery, the whole community is gathered because, quote, the Lord often reveals what is better to the younger, unquote. Sometimes our vision is clouded by our own expectations. Benedict invites us to welcome in the wisdom of everyone in the community, even those who we might not expect to have wisdom. Often others can see aspects of ourselves that we can't. You might ask someone you trust deeply to reflect back to you how they see your gifts at work in the world and the places where you seem to hold yourself back. Receive these words with a sense of reverence and humility and what they might have to teach you. Or you might pay attention to where the experiences of spontaneous community happen in your life and see if they have anything to reveal to you about your heart's deep call. What are the moments when you feel a sense of deep connection to people who were once strangers only a moment ago, but there's some shared laughter over something, an experience? In the desert, Celtic and Benedictine traditions, it was also considered essential to have some kind of soul-level relationship with another person who was further along the path in conscious awareness and spiritual practice. And many of you are probably familiar with the Gaelic term anamkara, which means soul friend. It was in the 4th and 5th centuries that St. Cassian went to the Egyptian desert to learn about the importance of an elder, a wise, holy, experienced person who can act as a teacher and guide for an individual or community. Of the many graces of their spiritual lives, the desert monks believed that an experienced guide was the greatest gift. An Abba was the term for male wisdom bearer, and Amma for female wisdom bearer. Cassian firmly believed that God's guidance and wisdom comes most often through human mediation, and the encounter with the desert elders. Age doesn't guarantee this kind of wisdom, but through a person who's been formed themselves in apprenticeship to another wise one. So an essential element of cultivating our capacity to listen to the world, to be present, to cultivate our ability to be monks in the world, is to seek out wise elders and mentors. Consider if there's someone in your life who lives with creative vitality and contemplative presence, and invite them into conversation about the ways in which they sustain themselves and nurture their way of being. And of course, essential is also this sense of community, and so to begin to consider all the places that you already experience community. Who are the people who support you right now, and how might you give yourself over to more time investment in that relationship? And pay attention to those moments when community breaks in where you're not expecting it.